All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Serious Angler Podcast. We are here in Tulsa for the Bassmaster Classic. I'm your host, Bailey Eichbritt, and I got two studs with me here. We got recent Bassmaster Opens champ, Mr. Kyle Austin, and of course, no stranger to the show, Mr. John Garrett, fighting through for a podcast for us this morning. Are you going to live through this thing?
I think so. I think I'm going to make it, yeah.
We got a interesting text from John last night. He's in some rough shape, but he's here. He's trooping through it's the Bassmaster Classic. You gotta be here for Classic Week. But dude, first time on the show, Kyle, off an open win. You know, day one of the Classic. That, you know, a year from now, you're gonna be it.
Yeah, it's definitely it's set in definitely that I've made the Classic. But it is weird being at the Expo, knowing that you're already qualified for next year's Classic. So yeah. It's definitely different. I don't think many people get that chance because the open is usually later in the year, so it's definitely different, but excited.
Dude, it's got to be absolutely surreal, because then I know you were saying I'm not going to go to takeoff until I'm in takeoff.
Yeah,
so kind of full circle now.
I know
you're gonna be in that year from now. But yeah, day one of the Bassmaster Classic, we're sitting here. Who's the Shakur still leading as of right now?
It's leading, and Huff is in second right now. So
you said he had four.
Yeah, four for 14. Yeah.
Oh boy. I don't know what just happened. There's a bubble with a thumbs up. People watching, yeah, they know. But so we're here at the X2 Power Booth. The expo is about to start here in about an hour or so. First day of the expo. I love this time of year, at least for me, being up in New York. I mean, you guys travel all the time, see a bunch of people. I don't get to see anybody until these events. So this is kind of like my Christmas. I get to go and see the family, the crew. Yeah. So it's beyond the classic itself. What is exciting about this week to you guys as anglers?
For me, it's one, the tournament, but you know, traveling against these guys. I used to travel with John over here, fishing against him, and we all year we're all competitive, and you know, we're at tournaments, and you're just focused on the tournament. And you come here, and if you're not into Bassmaster Classic, it's a good time. You get to hang out, you know, maybe grab some dinner, you know, go out at night and enjoy the nightlife, and hang out with everybody you compete against, and everybody in the industry seems like it's in one town. So it's always a good time. You meet a lot of cool people that way.
Heck yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, like Kyle said, we're all competitors when we're traveling for tournaments. So we get to all come together and not have that competitive side, you know, just kind of let loose, have fun, talk about, you know, on the water, off the water stuff. And really, like, you know, the X2 and, like, I mean, all the sponsors we work with all year, we all get to come together. It's kind of like this whole industry is a big family. We don't get to see each other a lot, but now we all get to come together and chat and talk about things that we're going to do for next year, work on projects, and just hang out. It's a good time.
For you guys, it's a big deal in regards of, like, if you're working the show, you know, that's obviously you're on the water, important from your career aspect, but this is also a very important part for you guys because it's relationship building, hanging out with sponsors, potential sponsors, shaking hands, you know, signing babies, things like that, you know, now that you're famous champion over here. It's important for you guys, but it's, in the end, like you mentioned, it's just fun, dude. I just love seeing everybody at these. I feel like when it's the expo's open, everyone's here. I feel like you can't go 20 feet without seeing somebody, you know, and you stop and talk. Where it's like you got to carve out an hour if you want to go to the other side of the building because you know you're going to run into some people. Yep. But looking at the tournament itself, from your guys' perspective, have either guys fished Grand before?
I have.
Yeah. I feel like you've fished all over the dang country at this point. How do you think it's setting up right now? And are you shocked, or what's your kind of perspective on how they're catching them?
Yeah, it looks like last time I was here was in the fall, and looks like the water's a little bit lower than normal, and it looks like it's really clear compared to Grand. Usually, look at Grand, it's dirty anywhere in Oklahoma. So, I don't know. I think guys that are good with a jig and on rock lakes, it's going to be hard to beat here.
Yeah, they clipped earlier as I was watching in the hotel before we got over here. They had a shot to Jason Christie, and he's got the jig in his hand.
I know.
Zoning with a nice growl. Yeah, he's like, yeah, something's coming. But it seems like guys are catching them a multitude of different ways. Apparently, I saw guys were catching them on top water this morning. Yep. Hackney was catching them on a plopper style bait.
Yep.
So it's the whole rave conversation right now that I don't even want to get into, but before it, I think it's appeasing some people that are that like to see some top water action. But what about you, John?
I agree with that. I mean, I think this is good, like, the time of year we're hitting the classics will be great. We're going to have the old school traditional fishing going on and some of the new school stuff mixed in. I think for a guy to win this, I don't think he's going to have one thing locked in. I think you're going to see fish get caught off the bank, on boat docks, and in between. So I think it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. And I like these tournaments where it's not one on a specific spot. We have so many tournaments we watch where someone's hunkered down on one sweet spot they find offshore. This tournament, you're going to see a lot of game time decisions take place. And I think it's going to be a fun tournament to unfold.
Yeah, I was chatting with a few guys at Media Day yesterday. And kind of just having low-key conversations because they're all getting cameras put in their face and doing which is good. Great for the branding, great for the media outlets. But I was going to like chat with some buddies and just kind of have a low-key conversation. There's a few of them that said that they're not going to look at forward tomorrow. They're going to put it down. There's some guys that are cranking shallow. They're burning the bank. Like it's you got a whole, like you said, it's going to be a whole variety of things to make it happen. But it's got to be an interesting concept for me when you look at a practice standpoint from a tournament angler. Where you get 3 days of practice, and then what is it, 3 or 4 days until the tournament actually starts? Yep. You get like one ride around day basically for 8 hours. And from that, from your guys' perspective, how do you approach that in practice?
Just try not to get locked on to anything. I would prefer that. Back when I started, I fished a lot of BFLs and stuff, and that's how I did it. You know, I'd practice like one day, like a week before, and I'd just show up for the tournament. So you just didn't get dialed into like, oh, I got to run this, run that. You just kind of catch a pattern as you go. And just kind of go off the hip. And I think that's why you see a lot of the, veteran guys always, show up during the classic. Yeah. It's more shooting off the hip than it is, hey, I got to get dialed. Because, what I fish, like the opens, I mean, you got to be pretty much on them, come tournament day and against that many boats. So I think this is a little bit different. And you'll see some veterans shine, I think, in the classic.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a trend there. And guys that have been there before, a little bit more relaxed. The nerves are kind of calmed down.
Right.
But what do you think, too, as well with the practice?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle hit it on the head. I mean, it's not a traditional practice, and we're not fishing the hours leading up to the tournament. So I think a lot of, what goes in a role in this is people just finding areas they like and what they, what they're looking for, what they like to do, finding areas of fish. And they're going to change in the 3 or 4 days they're not fishing. So just getting an area with a good population and changing with the fish is something big that – a lot of those people with a lot of experience has, and there's not many people on that roster hasn't had a ton of experience where they come to the opens or they've been on the elites for a while. But yeah, just getting those areas they like and feel comfortable in and changing throughout each tournament day is going to be big this week.
Yeah. So somebody that is, I guess, going through practice and really not, like you said, not getting set on something, but kind of just making mental notes of the different things they see and just being very open, like free about it.
Right.
Yeah. Not getting too serious on one pattern. So do you think there's a big advantage in this event with how long it could be from practice tournament of being mentally just free going to day one with not really a too hard of a set game plan? Like maybe have a step one, but having some notes of, oh, I remember this in practice, I can make an adjustment easier versus getting set on something.
Yeah. You want this?
You go ahead.
Yeah. I think this style tournament is only 3 day. I'm going to call it a 3 day shootout versus a 4, and the practice is different. So I think this tournament really every year is more of, let me just go fishing, because it's so different from 3 days ago in practice it is now. It's like you're saying, they make mental notes of there's some fish that were off the bank here. They might be up on those laydowns or docks now. So it's more of just take what you see in the week and just literally just go fishing during this week of the classic. Yeah,
I definitely think that is the way to go about it. I mean, granted, we joked about in fantasy fishing earlier this week, I'm just the armchair quarterbacks. You guys are actually the QBs on site and in the mix, but it definitely seems like that is the best approach, at least in recent years. When you talk with the winners, they're like, whether it's the second day or third day, they're like, yeah, everything that happened in practice basically was done. There was nothing was going on, and they just made a complete 180. But it's always exciting with the tournament. There's always a lot of the tournament coverage. But on the flip side, just talking about the classic in general in the future, obviously trying to get on the Elite Series, Major First Classic, on the Elites, rookie season. Although I think you're definitely in one of the discussions of like, is he actually a rookie? Because he's been around the block for forever. Looking ahead at the classics, what's one thing or maybe a location you guys will like to see them go to that they maybe have never been to before?
I mean, for me, I mean, obviously, Santee. I want to come to South Carolina.
Santee, please.
Been the obvious answer.
It takes a lot more than just the lake for the classic. You got to have cities nearby. You got to have, plenty of places for everybody to stay. So there's a lot that goes into it. I don't know, maybe like a northern classic would be pretty cool. Like go catch smallmouth.
Like a June kind of time frame?
Yeah, like just, I don't know.
Maybe not June because then it'll be spawn fest, but yeah.
I don't know. I just,
you can see it.
We should go to New York like this time of the year. Like right when it thaws out, I feel like the smallmouth bite. So
see, as a New Yorker, I don't want that because I don't want more people coming up in April when it's that dumb.
Yeah.
It would be, to your point though, the weights would be ridiculous.
Ridiculous. It's not different. I want to see, I don't know, classic. You just want to see big bass. I mean, that's what the fans come here for. I don't, you know, them tough fisheries. It's cool for us, you know, because I like tough fisheries. Just, you know, it's not really a slugfest, kind of easier. Like the 10, 11, 12 pounds, or you can compete with that versus a slugfest. But I think as a fan growing up with it when I was a kid, I mean, I just want to see giants. I mean, I remember watching Gerald Swindle catch that giant at Clear Lake on TV when I was a kid. And just, that's what you want to see as a fan. So,
yeah, I mean, dude, some of the lakes up north, if you can time it right in that April, you'd be given that 3-day Bassmaster limit a run for its money with what you could put up, because they're all dumb as heck, more than they usually are in the north, and they're all fat and happy before, you know, they're actually getting up and spawning. So you could do some crazy stuff up north. But what about you, man? Where's the location you think you'd love to see the classic go?
You know, a location I wouldn't mind seeing a different time of year too, because growing up we were used to seeing those Bassmaster classics first term of the year. Everybody was like, looked like the Michelin man. I had gloves on. It was like 20 degrees. They were breaking ice at the ramp. I would love to see it early in the year, end of January, beginning of February, some kind of bigger Tennessee River Lake or, you know, system, something that's not Knoxville, you know, Gunnersville, a Pickwick, you know, something a little bigger. And I want to see everybody freezing. I used to love that because, like Kyle said, I mean, it's all about the big bass. I mean, that's what bass is around, big bass, big stage, big dreams.
Right.
And I think when you get in that, the earlier in the year you get, the more big fish you're going to catch. So I kind of want to go back to seeing people dressed up, freezing, and catching big fish. That's what I wouldn't mind seeing that again.
You definitely, there'd be times you'd be running out and it's ice all over your boat, 25, 26 degrees, but they'd be freaking chewing the face off. Yeah.
Which they could make that happen in New York up there.
You think that happen for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the one interesting thing is, you mentioned earlier about having a location with where you can have the expo and things like that.
Right.
I think after this year with the hour and a half, almost 2-hour drive, I think they could do it anywhere now.
Yeah. Anywhere. I mean, really, you could do it on Santee. We could all drive to Charleston, hang out downtown Charleston at night. It'd be a good time.
Watch. You're going to see a Santee like classic now with Charleston. Listen to this. And they're like, Kyle's on to something now.
Yeah.
But you could it's probably better in the north with that cold water to put up and travel with those fish than it is.
For sure.
Granted, it's not as warm here, but I was thinking like back to the Ray Roberts classic when they had those oxygen tanks running shotgun with the guys with the boats coming in. But they did, I remember they did a nice adjustment where they had like guys somewhat weigh in, I think, at the ramp, so they weren't bringing back the full bag or something along the lines of that. But this whole thing, it's such a spectacle for our sport. Like the different logistics that come into everything. It's when you go to classic after classic and you're a part of it, especially you guys that are go, like on the road all the time. I feel like it's hard to slow down and look back at how big bass fishing has become and how fast it's blowing up. I mean, you drive in, there's a 100-foot billboard of Gussie's face. Like that's the thing, like next year, the 2 years from now, like that could be you guys up there. It's kind of crazy to think about when you kind of like slow down and you're like, realize how big this thing actually is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the Super Bowl of bass fishing. It's everything you can think of. I mean, you get off the airport. I mean, when I got to Atlanta airport and I got to the gate where it said heading to Tulsa, and you show up and there's guys, you could tell they're going to the classic.
You know who's in the fishing industry.
Fishing industry shirts. I mean, different brands. They're like, all right, everybody's going to the same place. That's pretty cool to see it that way. It's definitely bigger than what you could dream of being here. So it's a cool event.
Yeah, and it's funny, like we were talking about in the airport, like you could have just your Skeeter hat on and plain clothes, no jersey, and we might not know each other, but like I can tell you're a fishing guy. We already have a connection.
Yeah, no doubt.
We got something to talk about. That's what's freaking awesome about this sport, and I think what makes it unique, where it's like if you're wearing an NFL apparel or something like that, it's okay, he likes football, but we might not have that instant,
something
to hit off on. But this week, looking at Grand Lake, what are some curveballs you guys think might happen that maybe some of the majority of folks aren't anticipating?
I don't really know. I really don't know a whole lot what's going on out there. The biggest curveball, I think, just the weather fluctuating. I think it's supposed to be 38 degrees tonight. So the guys catching one that plopper today, it might not happen as early tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know a whole lot what's going on out there, but yeah. I think this time of year, weather is key. You know, them cold nights are not fun during, when they're trying to spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as you see today, there's zero wind blowing, and there is basically zero big bass being caught. I mean, really, there's not a ton
unless
of
unless your name's Cody Huff.
Unless your name's Cody Huff.
And now, Grand Lake's important with the wind.
Grand Lake is one of the most wind-driven lakes in the country, even though it's dirty. So I think what you're going to see, if we have a little wind the next two mornings, how important that first hour of the day is. So, I mean, you could potentially see a classic winner catch their fish in the first hour of the next 2 days if that wind blows. So, really, yeah. The next two morning bites are going to be super important for whoever's going to win this tournament.
That's a really good point. So, for you guys looking at this, obviously, everybody's talking about Jason Christie's event, you know, Luke Palmer, hometown boys, which it's an obvious who to be looking out for to win this. But from your guys' eyes, if you were betting your savings on somebody to win this, who's the guy you're rocking with?
Well, I mean, looking at Bass Tribe, kind of regret my decision. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But I fished against Tyler Williams last year. And yeah. I'm telling you, any time we went to a rock lake that had rock in it and they bit a jig, I mean, he beat us pretty bad. So if I had to take a bet, I mean, as long as he can, you know, handle the spotlight of the classic, which he's a laid-back guy, so I'm sure he will.
Yeah,
Tyler Williams would be one I would pick. Just was kind it, of a sleeper because, you know, he's a rookie. And
yeah.
Not a lot of people thinking about the rookies. So
Mercer was saying that Tyler Williams is like a blend between John Cox and John Daly. In the golf world. That's pretty good. No doubt. That's pretty good. But what about you, John?
Man, there's so many people that come to mind. When I think about someone winning this tournament, like besides the local guys, but like my mind goes elsewhere and I might be persuaded by what Bass Track says right now. I don't really know, but like some of the younger guys has been hot, you know, recently. Jay's been doing real good. Cody's been catching some. Tyler Williams, Kyle Patrick, like there's so many people, you know, Milliken's one of them. So many guys that are just so cool, calm and collected that have been catching fish for the past couple of years, really good or, you know, better or the best in the country right now. So when I think of that, I'm kind of thinking that people have the more momentum swing than I am the odds on favorites, I feel like.
Yeah. It's one of those events where it's like an elite series event. You can kind of go with like a location or like a bias towards if they're the hometown hero, which, yeah, obviously it makes sense when your name's Jason Christie, but
or Kyle Austin.
Yeah, it is the year of the hometown favorite. So I think to me, you know, everybody's to say if the fish are spawning, you lose the hometown advantage. Yeah. You know, everybody thought you wanted it tough. But I think in pre-spawn tournament, especially in March, when the fish are steady moving, like they might not be on that bank today, but it might be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that local, if you can use it to your advantage, I think it helps. I mean, you can run to places that they haven't been all week, but you just know this time of year they might be there. And I think if you get on a good rotation, a local could really, you know, you take it to advantage and dominate it. But we'll see. It's a still the Bassmaster Classic. A lot of it's usually somebody wins that you have no ideas about to win. So
like to your point, like when you're saying with Grand being very wind driven, like a local might know how to, you know, one little key thing here or there that gets Grand to go when it's not blowing. But it definitely seems like the event where some of that can get thrown out the window. Cause like you look at Elite Livesey, everyone thinks, you know, it's Texas Hammer does well in only the South, but yet you look at the past classics and Lee's up there finessing whatever needs to be done.
Yeah.
He's there when it comes to these big championship style events. There's some guys that just seem like Hank Cherry, great example where it's hasn't really been up in the mix all that often from a regular Elite Series event. But when it comes to the classics, he just freaking shows
goes
up
for it. Yep.
Yeah. So it's cool to see that. It almost throws a wrench when you're like a fan, you know, trying to, you know, call out who you think might win or a fantasy fishing, things like that. But that's, I think, what makes this so exciting is you get these curveballs thrown at you like Jay Shakur leading this thing, this Wisconsin boy with a walleye background. Like
as we're talking about Hank, it says he's currently in third place. So he has it.
Yeah, there you go. Exhibit A.
And he's got one on right now. He's just at that thing for Bassmaster Classics, for sure.
There's just those guys, man, that for whatever reason, they just show up in big games. Like you see it across everything. And do you think that's just straight up a mindset or is that just like a killer instinct? That's just something you're born with.
I mean, they're not worried about getting paid. I mean, this isn't, nobody cares about who finished second. You know, at the end of the day, like you can't name who finished second in the last six classics, you know, but you can,
besides Welcher,
yeah. But you can probably name who won every one of them, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So it's, nobody remembers second place. It's all about winning. And I think that's just the mindset they have. And I mean, if you have that mindset, and a lot of times like them big baits or, you know, you'll see anglers do stuff that they don't usually do, but they know that, mm-hmm. and they have to do it. You know, they're not, some tournaments you're just like, okay, if I just get out here and make a $10,000 check and then we'll roll on. But in this one, I mean, it's all about just winning it. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think you're bringing much of a check home after this one, driving an hour and a half back for practice. No, and things like that. You're spending all of that in gas right there. But yeah, no, it's a super intriguing perspective, and we can go on and on about that. But flipping back to the expo, what do you guys have coming up this week? And for if anybody's looking to come to the expo or things that they should keep an eye on social wise, anything with you guys' brands or anything like that people should keep up with?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be busy all week. I got to post on my social where I'll be. Yeah, we got some cool things. Striking Lose coming out. I would say newer, new spinning reel from Lose. It's definitely different from the traditional things that we have on the market now. But other than that, yeah, I'll just be hopping around place to place and shaking hands, signing babies. Yeah. But look, I want to say something real quick before we dig into this. We were talking about hometown experience. My buddy Kyle here just won on Santee, as y'all all know. Kyle's not only like one of the greatest people, like such a good guy, like in the fishing industry, can't really get a better person. But man, his win a couple weeks ago on Santee, it was truly amazing. I mean, he's from there, but man, it wasn't just a hometown win. It was just like such a veteran win. I mean, he had to catch him 27, 28 pounds a day and not
with a broken boat.
With a broken boat. I mean, you seen him up in the river throwing a trap on some current breaks and some hard spots and throwing a wacky worm, catching big ones around isolated cypress trees. I just want to say congrats, man. He's been so close to making the Elite Series and has such a good run in the Opens every year. I just really like to see a breakthrough, you know, to someone who truly deserves it, for sure.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Me and John been fishing against each other for a while. He's I think I'm going to be the new John Garrett.
I was like just going to say, I think he passed the torch off.
We're trying to get where John's at, you know, on the Elite Series. That's the ultimate goal. But you know, everybody's dreams to fish for a living, and I'm blessed to be able to do that, you know, whether it's on Santee Cooper chasing catfish, bass, whatever species. I catch frogs apparently. Fishing tournament. So I live in the dream I've always wanted to, so nothing's changing, you know.
Hell yeah, man. I mean, it was we talked about it a little bit before, but for folks, if they listen to this, they probably listen to BTL. And if they haven't, you guys need to check out the episode, because like we were joking yesterday, you guys like, yeah, I think we talked like 50 minutes about catfishing and 5 minutes about bass fishing. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, by the way, you won. But it's dude, like, that is what fires me up, is straight up fish heads.
Yeah,
because that's just the one where you see the true instincts come into play. Like, because I think you probably can look at things from like from an instinctual standpoint when you're out on the water, like when you know what bass are doing, when you know what the cats are doing, when you know, like, absolutely, when you're just out there in all of it. Yeah. And you're surrounded by it. I feel like that helps you out in the long game, like being able to make those adjustments on day two of the classic when everything you've had goes shit. Like, but,
like, y'all always heard time on the water is key. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you never heard time on the water chasing bass is key, you know? So just time on the water in general. And chasing catfish, if you look at my stats, you know, I've always been kind of up and down. And as soon as I started, quit my job, started guiding full time and on the water as much as I am, my, you know, tournament results for bass has just gone up. You know, I've been a lot more consistent, but it's every day I have an 8-hour tournament guiding. Like, whether I'm chasing catfish or chasing bass, I got 8 hours to get the job done, and it just gets me on that time clock. And you can kind of fish off instincts a lot more, make better decisions during the tournament. And like last year, I mean, I thought I had a perfect season for me, and it still come up short, but the instincts was definitely a whole lot better than it used to be.
Yeah. And I want to say something real quick. So that's what's great about our sport. I mean, we see people fishing the classic this week that are just traditional household brand names in the sport of bass fishing. And you see guys, you know, half of them that are kind of new, they don't have their career set, but there's so many people coming up through the ranks that, like Kyle, myself, and a bunch of these other guys that are really talented. They put a ton of work in, and one win, like Kyle's win last week, can make a career. And that's what's great about the classic this week. If someone wins, that isn't that brand name. And that's what I love. I love seeing, I know Kyle loves seeing is someone win that, I'm not saying everybody on there is not deserving, but someone's deserving hasn't won a tournament that can win one. That's what's special about the sport, is that it gives everybody a chance to have that potential shine moment that we all strive for. So that's why the Classic Special, that's why we have, you know, 8 million viewers on Bass Live, you know, a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's kind of what the sport revolves around for sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and dude, it's, you know, we were talking at dinner last night, some of the small intricacies that you applied into that win, I think that really goes into what you're talking about, that time on the water.
Yeah.
And that goes into, one, the dedication that you put forth, which does not go unnoticed. Like, you got real ones like John that see that. And it's not one like you got to go and preach to the choir that you're doing it, because I think the people that are already doing it, like John himself, like, they see it, they acknowledge it, and that's where it's like people start rooting for you. I think there's a lot of people that they might, you know, for the Classic, they'll say who they think might win, but they're in their heart, there's some guys that like they really want to win. Like, there's guys out there, I'm sure, that are killing for Hackney or Polinic to finally get a Classic win.
Yep.
And there's a whole handful. It's then like when you get invested in the industry and you start making friends with these guys, and you're like, man, I would love for this guy to win. But then you're like, that means he loses. And then it's like,
Scott Martin last week when I won, you know, he finished third place behind me. And he said it like four times to me. I mean, the nicest thing you say, like, he's glad he didn't win. You know, like, for him, the money comes and goes, you know.
Helps he already won the first one.
Yeah, like, he does pretty good. I mean, you know, 50 grand to some guys like that is not a lot of money. And it just, for me, you know, I mean, it could be a difference in my career. I mean, it helps the sponsors I already have now, that I could prove that, hey, I can win. I can be in the top of it. And it's just like, for me, it's like a storytell thing. You know, missing it last year by a spot or two, and then going back out there. And all my friends, I'm graduating on the lead series now. So that's kind of the little held back high schooler right there and back in the open. So it was cool. I felt like I did it for, you know, those guys that left, and, you know, guys are still around. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, man. So let me ask you this. You talk about, you know, 50K being a big deal. I think that should be a big deal to anybody.
Right.
But so you guys are to win the Classic, 300K. Yeah. What's your first purchase?
I would like to, I'm not saying own a house, but at least have a house in my name. I like to be paying on a house. I've been renting a house forever, I feel like. Just to do something for the family. I feel like, and Kyle could take into this, I'm sure, as well as everybody trying to start up, is that this is not a financial savvy sport whatsoever. So it takes a lot of selfishness for us to chase what we love that makes zero sense on a financial side. So yeah, do something for the family. That'd be great. Cause they, you know, the wife and kid and family take so many risks at home while I'm like, I need another transducer. I need another graph. Like, golly, you know, that's a lot of money, but you know, the family deserves a lot. So do something for them for sure.
Yeah.
Very similar. I think I would you see a lot of guys win big tournaments, whether it was the old Forza Cup or Classic or something like that. And some guys, you know, didn't use the money in the right way. They might have just paid a lot of things off, and then that money's gone. I think I try to invest it in somehow, something that could make potential more money, you know.
Yep.
So my family and like your family, you know, they could be well off for a long time instead of just 300,000 is a lot of money, but when you fish, you know, bass tournaments, you can spend 300,000 pretty quick.
Easy. So, yeah.
You know, it's a lot of money, but it can go by fast. But if you do the right thing with it, it can set your career off for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and this I think for any of the younger folk, listen, I mean, I guess anybody these days that might have a tournament gambling addiction, take note of that, because be smart with your money. But I think, like, yeah, I mean, look at 300K. I mean, we're looking at two-thirds of it over here with some of these boats. But it's getting steep for dang sure.
Absolutely.
But I think they might have opened the doors because we got the public starting to come in there.
They are running. There must be some hot deals around the corner.
Either running. I thought they were running the Zen booth for a second.
Jacob, they're high. They're going to come tackle them.
I wonder what's going on over here. We might have to just take people for a walk with
He's gone.
Yeah, we need to give away something. We need the crowd to come.
Hey, we got hats. So if people are coming to the expo, we got X2 hats, X2 shirts that are actually for you guys. If people come by, you want to give them out. But some cool stuff going on at the expo. I guess with that, before we, because you guys are going to get torn away here, I'm sure, with people coming in finally. What are some things people can look out for, like, for you guys moving forward, maybe post-Classic? Obviously, you got Harris Chain coming up. But what can people look out for? Where can they follow you?
Yeah, they can look me up on my website, KyleLawsonOutdoors.com, or, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Kyle Lawson Fisher, Kyle Lawson Guide Service. I got two pages, two different businesses. But
if you want to hunt gators, hunt frogs, you want to catch cats, and then maybe catch bass.
If you don't do anything like that, just hit me up. I'm kind of booked out a little bit right now, but the summertime's coming up. That's a good time of year to come to Santa Cooper. So any guide trips and other than that, the Fishing Open is trying to qualify for elites.
I loved it last night at dinner where you're like, whatever they want to catch, if they want just a booze cruise, I'll take them. They're going to have a good time regardless. I love that. Yeah. That's the kind of guide you want. But what about you, John?
Yeah, same thing. Watch the Opens point race for Kyle, and hopefully he slides that top 10 by the end of the year. I want to be in the Classic Cut, so watch that AOI points for Elite Series. And, yeah, same thing. He guides for catfish. I guide for ducks. So if you want to check me out, johngarrettoutdoors.com for a duck hunt trip and John Garrett Fishing for – follow my fishing stuff on Instagram and Facebook. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, guys, that's all going to be linked down below. So you can just go in the show notes, click on it. Highly recommend following these guys. And obviously, it's not going to be long before we get you both back here on the show. But Classic Week, it's exciting. We were just talking about everybody's here. I'm looking forward to this first day of the expo going by and shaking some hands. It's going to be a good week. But boys, appreciate you guys joining the live show here. I love doing these in person, even though like this is totally low budget, janky.
That's good. I mean, this thing's a little heavy, but other than that, we're good.
Yeah. but folks, appreciate you guys tuning in. John, hopefully you can hobble your way through the expo with
no hospital visits for sure.
y'all be pulling for John over here. He's trooping through. But appreciate y'all for tuning in, and we're gonna go live tomorrow again for day two of the Classic.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanga fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on the next one.